This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Junk's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan, Team 980, 910 The Fan if you're listening in Richmond, and Monumental Sports Network. We're brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junks. Happy to be joined in studio by Dan Colco, TV host, reporter, play-by-play. He does it all for the Washington Nationals, and he's sitting to my right. He's here. Welcome on opening day.
DK.
Good to see you.
Boys, great to see
What's
you
up,
guys.
Man?
I've been in studio with you in a little bit.
You have not, but I saw you during the What's New at the Ballpark in 2025 just a few days ago, Friday, I believe. And you were there hanging out with Zim as we were testing all the new concessions. I sampled Ryan Zimmerman's rib plate. It was delicious.
Yeah, he was up all night cooking those things.
Was he really? I'm sure he was slaving away.
Yeah, in the kitchen.
Good stuff.
For hours.
Yeah, so you do a podcast with them now, right?
That's right. Yeah, every other Friday. So actually tomorrow, our next episode will drop. And we're just two guys talking baseball, talking life, talking DC, having fun.
That's
and
cool.
We're going to raid his cell phone. I'm going to just take that thing.
Go through it.
Go through. It's like the game when you take somebody's cell phone and who's the most famous person and you just call that person.
Okay. Uh-huh.
We're going to do that on the podcast.
Man,
so
that's a great question. I don't think I have.
I wonder who that would be.
I don't think I have many famous people in my cell phone, if any.
I disagree. Agree with that. I'm sure you do. At this point, you guys have been doing this how long now?
I don't know, man.
You've got some connections.
Yeah, but we've never been beat reporters. You know what I mean? Like,
fair enough.
We're not in the locker room.
I don't have that.
We try and stay away from the locker room.
Probably
one of the last times we were in the locker room was at spring training years ago, and Cakes and I approached Strasburg.
Yeah,
how'd that go?
It didn't go well.
Yeah. How do you?
He
think
said.
It, how do you
he
think
said,
it went for guys who barely knew Strasburg?
He said. He said he didn't talk to people the day before a start.
That's right.
But it was 2 days before the start. What are you going to do?
But you weren't going to push back, were you?
No. So as soon as we got that rejection, I said,
that might have been the last time.
I said, this is not our comfort zone. Never doing this again.
Yeah.
Haven't done it since.
Yeah, you live and you learn.
Yeah.
I don't have Dan Colco in my contact list.
I run into you on the street every other week, basically, at this point. You're breaking news about my engagement to my fiance's family and all sorts of stuff.
Ooh, I didn't know this.
This happened on your air like a year ago.
Well, you're married though. I went on his Instagram because I told Drew, I was like, didn't he have surgery? And he didn't remember. And then when he's had a couple surgeries, and I saw he got married like day before Christmas. You did the destination wedding.
We did.
Ooh,
yes.
Where?
Mexico.
Very
an
nice
island off the coast of Cancun. It was something else.
Oh, I bet.
How many did you get to come?
We invited 114 and 105 showed up.
Holy crap. You didn't want that, did you?
We weren't expecting that many. But
when you have a destination wedding like that, you're hoping for some attrition when it comes to
50% maybe.
You don't want to say you have a B-list, but like you have some people that you expect you'll be able to invite once some no's come in.
Right.
Yeah. We didn't get many no's.
Man.
Wow. So, but no, it was a blast.
So your second cousins were screwed.
Yeah. Like that. The ancillary invites.
All right. So we were talking about the Nationals with opening day.
Well, real quick,
in the show.
I thought it was cool, and JP brought this up early. We love when we get to work. You know, we pull into our parking spot around 5:30, and the lights are on. That's the best for, you know, for opening day. It
means we're ready to go.
We're ready to rock and roll. So I'm looking forward to that.
So, you know, a couple of these guys have bet totals on the Nationals.
Over 70.5.
And there are greater expectations than the last couple of seasons, but not necessarily great expectations. But let's start on the positive. So Mackenzie Gore is the opening day starter.
Yes.
What can fans expect from Gore this year? Is this guy going to potentially be like all-star level?
He's one of the better pitchers. He's always had that ability. Mm-hmm. And it's been about him working through kind of the emotional ups and downs. He's a very fiery guy on the mound. He's a very competitive guy. He expects a lot out of himself. And I think sometimes in the past that would hinder him, that something would go wrong. He'd give up a bloop hit. He'd walk a guy and it would maybe spiral a little bit on him because he got outside of himself. He's dialed that in over the last year plus, and he struggled last year. And I think a lot of times you talk to big leaguers and everyone's going to struggle in the major leagues. It's about how you respond to those struggles. Most of the second half of last season, he did not pitch well. Mm-hmm. His final, I think it was 7 starts of the year. He pitched to like a 1.15 ERA or something crazy. Like he had the lowest hits per 9 total of any starting pitcher in Major League Baseball. He ended the year on a run.
Yeah.
And I think there's high
hopes
for him.
So his overall numbers look decent based on
They look decent. Yeah. 3.9 ERA, high strikeout total. But for him, it's about, how can I be more consistent from start to start? We know that the highs are going to be really, really high. How can he bring that floor up a little bit? And how can he pitch deeper into games more consistently? How can he get six and two-thirds innings out of his 105 pitches as opposed to struggling to get through 5 on some starts?
Right. How do you feel about today going against that lineup?
I mean, anytime you go against this version of the Phillies with Zach Wheeler on the mound and as deep of a lineup as they have, you know, they're a formidable opponent. But I think the Nationals as a whole are feeling confident coming out of spring. I think they feel like they can surprise some people this year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a super competitive division. We know this with the Phillies and the Mets and the Braves. But this team has more talent on it than it's had the last few years. And you've got guys that are starting to establish themselves now.
Right.
And you add in Nathaniel Lowe, who I think is going to be a really good piece over there at first base defensively and a silver slugger in the past. You get Josh Bell back. Paul DeJong hit 24 home runs last year. Put him at third base where he's a great defender. I think the improvements this offseason to go along with these guys getting more comfortable, the younger guys, I think this team could surprise people.
So the starting lineup or starting outfield today will be Cruz, Young, Wood.
Yes.
Left, center, right.
Cruz and right, Young and center.
Wood and left.
Yes.
Ah.
Same as last year.
Okay.
Cruz ultimately, I guess it depends on how good Jacob Young is.
That's right.
Is he ultimately a center fielder?
I think you talk to front office people, and a guy like him has more value in center field because he can play a great defense and his overall, you know, typically corner outfielders, you want maybe a little bit more pop in the bat. So his offensive skill set maybe puts him in center field in some people's eyes. But Jacob Young, he
was
should really have good. Won a gold glove last
year. Yeah, he was really good.
So we'll see how all that plays out. But Dylan Cruz, a lot of people are really, we had Mark DeRosa on our podcast that's dropping tomorrow. The 11th inning podcast with Colco and Zim, little plug there.
Yeah, of course.
He said
DeRosa's awesome.
He's the best. Yeah. MLB Network host, former National. He said he's picking Dylan Cruz to win the NL Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
And that's over Roky Sasaki, you know, who the Dodgers pitcher. A lot of people are really high on Dylan this year.
So CJ Abrams has been really good, young player. He had his little, I don't know what you call it, his casino trip that ended with a suspension. Do you expect him to take it to another level?
another guy, kind of like McKenzie, that the highs have been very high. I mean, he made the All-Star team last year.
His first half was really good.
He had two out of the first 3 months of last season. His numbers were among the best 10 hitters in baseball.
Yep.
In baseball. And again, it's about like, how can we be more consistent? How can we raise that floor so that even if we're not hitting, you know, 10 bombs in a month and slugging a ton, that the batting average isn't 160 and I'm reaching base right. at a 200 clip. He doesn't walk a lot. So you would love with a guy of his speed and ability to be dynamic on the base paths for him to just be on base more consistently somehow. How can he hit, you know, 260 at a consistent level as opposed to the fluctuations between the really highs and the really lows? But like McKenzie, the talent is there.
Right.
And he came to spring with a great head on his shoulders and looking ahead, not behind, and ready to attack this year and solidify himself.
In June last year, he hit 373.
Yeah.
In August, he had 176.
Yeah.
And I believe in September, it was in that one range, too. Hold on, I got it right here.
Yeah, second
he
half.
He had 187 in August. So,
and a lot of July, first pitch August, swinging, and, yeah. You know, that works when you're hitting homers on the first pitch of the game, but when you're not and you're the leadoff hitter, like, just needs to be more consistent. And I think everybody expects that he can and he will.
Right. What are your projections on James Wood and his numbers? Because he was killing the ball in the spring.
Yes.
And I've seen projections at, you know, 19 homers, 21 homers. I think he can get over
Feels
that.
Low to me.
Feels low. I think he can get in the mid-20s, but what are your projections for him?
He had, what, 8-9 last year in less than half of a full season. And I think another guy, it's really important to get these guys experience at the big leagues and then give them a full year. And yeah. That's what James got. That's what, to a lesser extent, Dylan Cruz got last year. I think James has the potential to have a huge year.
Yeah.
If he can bring that strikeout rate down a little bit, everything is loud. Like you hear the expression, it's a different sound off his bat. Mm-hmm. That's James Wood. Right. And it's not just pull side homers. If anything, it's more to the opposite.
No, that line drive one in spring training didn't go above 20 feet in height.
He's got great opposite field.
It's crazy.
Absurd.
So people are going to really like watching James Wood.
You see somebody that, and I don't know that it matters for a baseball player because Daryl Strawberry was always thin, but he's a taller, thinner guy, also left-handed bat. Is he getting thicker? Like, does he work out in the weight room or is that just going to be
kind of... Yeah, he certainly works out. He's not, I wouldn't say that he's thin. He's just 6'7", and right. It looks...
He's strong.
He's got weight on his frame. It's just when you're that tall... You know,
if you saw him walk in here, you go, oh, my gosh,
yeah,
that's a freaking. Well, first of all, you think he's a small forward
right,
in the NBA.
Right.
But
you put him next
put together.
To Dylan Cruz and Jacob Young in the outfield. Yeah. And it's quite a dichotomy. There,
what about the defensive questions for James? I think James has to get a little bit better defensively.
So he hadn't played as much left field as he had center or right.
Yeah.
Before he came up to the big leagues and was given left field every day. And it's different out there.
Mm-hmm.
The angles are different. The ball moves differently off a left-hander's bat. Same, a right-hander hooks the ball to that way. So you need to get acclimated to that. I think he'll continue to get better. I don't know that he's going to be a Gold Glover out there this year.
He's fine, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I think he'll be fine. And he gets to the ball quicker than it looks like he's getting to the ball because of how long his strides are.
Yeah.
And I think... I've talked to a lot of big league outfielders about, like, you get to the ball quickly, you get it out of your hands quickly, and that'll stop a lot of guys from running on you. You don't need to have the strongest arm, and he's got a decent arm. So I think he'll be better out there. He'll settle in.
Joined by Dan Colco, TV host, reporter, play-by-play for the Nationals. You mentioned guys running. The Nats specialized in that last year, led the majors in stolen bases. Are we going to see them atop that stat again this year? Do you see this more
the same?
Oh,
I hope so.
We could. I think what I personally would like to see, I haven't necessarily talked to Nationals coaches about this, is I'd like to see maybe a little less aggressive recklessness on the, or however you want to frame that. I think less reckless aggressiveness, I guess, is the way to say it. That there were times last year that they had to manufacture runs with...
Right, because they had no pop.
...being aggressive on the base paths. And it felt like sometimes they were running just to run.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one thing to get thrown out going first to third. It's one thing down by one to get thrown out trying to steal second base late in a game, but they were getting picked off a lot. There were a lot of they led the majors in times getting picked off. There were a lot of needless outs on the bases in addition to the aggressive ones.
Right.
So I think you find a way to rein that in somehow. But if you have a lineup that has C.J. Abrams, who has the ability to steal 40,
yep.
Jacob Young, who has the ability to steal 40 or 50, Dylan could easily steal 25, and then you know some other guys here and there.
Louis
stole almost 20 last year, I think. Luis Garcia.
He did, yeah.
So the potential is there, but you have more power this year. You hope that Nathaniel Lowe slugs you 25, Josh Bell gets you 25, Paul DeJong gets you 20, CJ gets you 25.
So you might not need to run right. as much, yeah.
Hey, tell me about my Home Depot guy. I just kind of read about him today.
Brad,
awesome story. I was like, this is going to be my
awesome
favorite
story.
Guy. He's like working like a regular dude at Home Depot and Cakes at Publix the year before.
Look, when you're on a minor league salary,
totally.
These guys have to take on second jobs sometimes to make ends meet, which kind of sucks.
But you guys remember Tanner Roark, who with us for a long time. He would work two jobs in the offseason in addition to training
and he was
to try and
for
become
a
big leaguer. Brad Lord worked at Home Depot, and he was slinging Christmas trees around that place and wearing the orange bib and the whole deal. And going into spring training, this was his first big league spring training. I don't think anybody expected him to be hanging around late in spring. He had a great year last year, made his way up, I think, three different levels of the farm system, and his numbers were really good. But he was kind of like a 93 to 95 guy with the fastball, a depth piece that could maybe this year become Mitchell Parker or DJ Hers, kind of, you know, be the next guy to surprise people. And then he just keeps hanging around in spring, and he's throwing 98, and his slider is nastier than it was before. And all of a sudden, people are like, Brad Lord could be a guy for us.
How the hell do you get your speed to go up to a 98?
These guys,
when you're a 92
it's
guy.
All about these developmental labs. And, you know, you make slight mechanical adjustments, and this is the way guys are training these days. And it's not just minor leaguers and big leaguers now. It's the youth game, which is a whole nother conversation that we could have, but it's not abnormal for a guy to add two, three ticks to his fastball.
I mean, he's caught Davey's eye. Some of the quotes from Davey: he attacks the strike zone. He comes after hitters. I like that. I really like that a lot. So, like, he's clearly caught the eye of Davey and the coaching staff and made the opening day roster. So
one thing that's cool about spring training is, especially early on when guys are working on the backfields, you get close to the action. And I was behind, the hitters are hitting, there's just a screen behind them, and then there's a bunch of Nats front office people and coaches back there, and they let me stand back there, which was very nice of them. And I watched Brad Lord throw a live BP, and some of the established big league hitters came out of the batter's box and were like, ooh,
who's this?
Yeah,
ooh,
it's coming.
This is nice.
I'm kind of fascinated by how baseball has changed with the iPads. But I still don't really know what the guys are doing. You're there all the time. How much are they using these things? What are they looking at in the dugouts?
They're using them a ton. And longtime big leaguers would argue from, you know, days past that they're using them far too much.
Right.
And that they're not watching the game anymore between their at-bats. One thing that's interesting about Dylan Cruz, he's kind of old school, and he just great. Great baseball savvy on this kid. You watch Dylan Cruz after an at-bat or in and a half inning when the Nationals are hitting, he's on the top row of the bench.
Is he?
Watching.
Right.
Watching hitters, giving his guys some, you know, encouragement from the bench and seeing everything that's happening out there. A lot of guys are just, they got their head in that iPad. They want to watch back their last at-bat. They want to see if the slider moved as much as it looked like it did in the batter's box. And there's value there. You can learn, you can gain stuff, and that's why so many guys do it these days. But there are a lot of people that have been around the game for a long time who feel like there's too much reliance on the video these days.
Does Lord, what's his delivery? Is he over the top guy, or has he come a little side?
I only watched the one live BP, and I didn't see him much last year in the minors. I forget exactly.
Okay.
But
he throws hard.
Yeah. Like I said, I mean, I think he was topping out last year at maybe 95, 96, and he was throwing 98s in spring with regularity.
That's awesome.
So,
well, it's going to be fun to watch today, man. And I know you'll be doing, you know, 50 or so play-by-play games. That's going to be awesome. Can't wait to see you on
it's
that.
It's a lot of fun. Thanks.
I bet. But thanks for joining us, bro.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, great to see you guys.
That's opening day.
Pumped that we're talking baseball again.
The weather's going to be great today.
I know. Dry, sunshine.
60 degrees will be perfect.
It's perfect.
Yeah. Oh, if you had to answer our poll, though, Brett, to bring it back, as you're a sports guy, is Willard going or staying?
Oh, God. So I grew up in Silver Spring. I'm a Maryland hoops guy.
Mm-hmm.
I 24, 36 hours ago, I was feeling great.
Yeah,
I was too.
Not so good
not
this
anymore.
Morning, are we?
Probably not.
I mean, my goodness, the turn that this has taken. And I just feel bad for the kids, man, that they're going into the biggest hoops game of their
There's
life.
There's no focus on the game, none whatsoever.
Nobody's talking about Derek Queen this morning. Nope. Nobody's talking about Juju Reese and how he could make an Elite Eight.
Yeah, but the other part of the story is, this we don't know, is let's say the two guards, they might already be talking to people in the transfer portal.
They have to fix this portal thing. They have to move it after the tournament's done.
Absolutely.
This is
it's
mess.
Crazy.
They've got to limit how many times they transfer. That's what I think.
Yeah.
Well, I'll say this. They should say, all right, you can transfer as much as you want. The first time you transfer, you can play the following year. The next time you decide to transfer, you're sitting out a year.
Right. By the way, this coming from a guy.
And that would eliminate that.
Right?
This coming, they wouldn't.
This coming from a guy who started at Richmond, then went to JUCO in San Diego and ended at Salisbury State.
I didn't have to. He wasn't getting paid to go to the other spot.
Yeah, a little different back then. Yeah.
That would have been nice.
Dan,
but
thanks so much for the time.
I think they're going to make some changes.
We appreciate it. Have a great opening day. And,
thanks, boys.
We'll talk to you again soon.
Good to see you guys.
Dan Colco, you can follow him on Twitter, @MassandColco. When we come back, we'll do Cakes' entertainment page next.